Now, we have been talking lately, and we've been talking in other groups about this idea that I just announced a minute ago, about finding our purpose. You know, why am I here? What is the purpose that God, why did God make me? Why did he make me this way? Why do I have these gifts and why do I have these talents and how am I supposed to use those and all that kind of thing? And I'll be honest with you, that's a big question. No, seriously, why are we here? That's a question that the whole world asks sometimes. Now, they don't ask it from the same perspective that we ask, but it's a big question. It's a very important question. It's an incredibly important question to ask ourselves and to know ourselves, because the truth is, the only real satisfaction in life, the only way someone can really live their life in peace and or at peace at least, is to know this is why I'm here and to be doing why I'm here, to be using the abilities that God's given to me. And let me just say also, in case there's anybody self-doubters in the room, there you do have abilities. You do have talents. They may not be like our worship team has. They may not be, you know, more technical like Matt has. They may not be something, but everybody has some gifts that God gives to them, especially once we become his children. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you once you've asked Jesus to be your Savior, and he gives you gifts. He works from the inside out. And so you have something that God wants to do with you. Now, having said that, though, today the message is a little bit different because for some people that, you know, I said that's a big question, why am I here? But for some people, that's an unwanted question. There are some people in the room, I'm sure, today, you don't want to know why you're here. Now, I'm being serious. Some people don't want to, there may be all of us at different times of our, we don't really want to know why God made us. Because if we know why God made us, if we know what our purpose is, then what? Then there's an expectation of us to do it. Wow. Okay. So I have lost everybody except for Tony and Dale. They're the only two that I'm looking at that seem to be with me so far. So you guys go ahead and come on back up here with me if you would. No, I'm just kidding. You see, there's an expectation that we're going to do it. If you know why God made you, and you know why he made you the way he made you, then there's kind of an expectation there that, okay, so I'm supposed to use this. I was just joking with somebody in our crowd here today just a couple minutes ago about hiding a light under a bushel. And I was just happened to be joking at the time, but that really is the truth. If God gave us certain abilities, God gave us a certain way. Look, if you're good with people, if you like to laugh and cut up and joke, and you're that kind of person, there is a way to use that for God. Amen. There is, and so whatever the talents are and so forth. So there's also an expectation. The other reason that some people don't want to know what the Bible has to say, you know, for the same reason, because there's an expectation then that I'll do it. I don't want to know what the Bible says I shouldn't be doing, right? I don't want to know what the Bible's. If the Bible's got a whole bunch of things that where God said you shouldn't be doing these things, I may not want to know that, because once I know that, I feel obligated to then not do those things, and some of those things I like to do. Now look, if Laura can amen that, then you can all amen that. Amen. I mean, if there's anybody that's trying not to do any of those things, it's Laura, okay? Look, so we don't always want to know what God has to say. We don't always want to know what we're supposed to be doing, what we're not supposed to be doing, because we have this image in our minds, I think, a lot of times. And I think a lot of times people are kind of checking out religion, they're checking out Jesus, and it's like, I'm not sure I want that. Because from what I know now, if I choose to follow Jesus, I may have to do this, I may have to do this, and I don't know that I want those things. And there's this misperception that somehow following Jesus is a negative thing. Now, why do people feel that way? Why do people think that following Jesus doesn't sound like a great thing? Well, I'll tell you, there's actually some really good reasons why people who have attended maybe church, or they've read a little bit of scripture, or they've heard something, or they've got some Christian friends, there's some really good reasons why you might think that following Jesus is not such a great thing. Can I give you a couple of them right out of Jesus' own mouth? Here's one. How about Matthew chapter number 16, verse 24? Jesus said to his disciples, "If any man will follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Now look, that right there, now if we really look at what that said, let him deny himself. So Jesus said, look, if you want to follow me, you need to learn to deny yourself. What does that mean? What does it mean to deny myself? To deny myself means, man, I'd like to eat that. I'd like to drink that. I'd like to watch that. I'd like to shoot this. I'd like to snort that. I'd like to do the a lot of these things that we might want to do. He said, you need to deny yourself. Amen. This is why a lot of us don't want to know what God has to say about some things. This is a lot of the reasons why a lot of people say, well, man, that doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun to deny myself. And then he said, and take up my cross. Now, if I'm remembering right, this whole cross thing, that didn't turn out so well for Jesus. He's the only guy I can remember that took up a cross, you know, in Scripture, and it doesn't seem like it was a great experience for him. And he's saying, if I'm going to follow him, these are the things I'm supposed to do. This is why some people are like, I don't know if I want to follow Jesus. I don't know that that sounds all that great. The Luke, the other writer of one of the Gospels, he took this same verse and he added a little bit to it. He embellished it a little bit. Here's what he had to say. He said to them all, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Look at the next word. Daily. Daily, yeah, not Sundays. Yeah, okay, I'll take up my, you know, yeah, you know what? I'll deny myself for Sundays. I won't, or really better, Saturday night. Saturday night, I'll be really, really good so I can come in on Sunday morning and not feel guilty. Right? You know, or you could go to the big church up the street here. You could just do whatever you want to and just go in and then they'll just take care of it all on Sunday. But the point is, he said daily. He said, see, Luke said, look, this thing of following Jesus, and please hear me, folks. And it's going to sound like I'm trying to talk you out of following Jesus here at the beginning of this. So stay with me, Shay. Don't leave me, okay? But following Jesus doesn't sound real great so far, right? Out of his own words, his own mouth. He said, if you're going to follow me, you need to deny yourself. And take up a cross. It just means, I won't even get into that. And follow me. And then the real kicker, he saved kind of the worst one is coming up. The worst one is something recorded by Mark. If this wasn't enough to keep you from saying, I just don't think it sounds like a great thing. I don't think it sounds all that fun to follow Jesus. Here's what Jesus said to a young man who was actually kind of up and coming. He was making good money. And here's what he said in the book of Mark. He said to this young man, Jesus looked at him and loved him and said, one thing you lack, go and sell everything you have and give to the poor. Does that sound good? That doesn't really sound all that great, does it? Yeah, Robert, you need to sell that red truck you drive around so proudly. You know, you got two other cars, dude. I mean, Jesus could use that money. Know what I'm saying? He said, shut up and move on. You ever want me to sing again? Shut your mouth. Move on, preacher. So look, but Jesus said, look, you need to, he said, one thing you lack. Look, this is not a great message. I mean, this doesn't sound like a lot of fun. Go and sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And I know, look, most of us were looking at that and saying, yeah, but I need a little bit of that treasure right here. And then he said, come and take up your... Yeah, and then he added the whole take up your cross thing before follow me. So take up your cross and don't have anything. Now, before I go any further, please understand, there is nobody in this room that Jesus expects to go and sell everything you have. Okay, this is not Jesus' message for you today. But the point is, Jesus is making the point here. He's saying, look, when you choose to follow me, I never said it was going to be easy. I never promised you a rose garden. I beg your pardon. I should have said that first. Look, he said, I didn't say it was going to be easy. Folks, following Jesus is not easy. It's not easy. He never said it would be easy here. But a lot of people, they're like, so I don't really want to know. I don't really, you know, I mean, these verses, you know, they just... These, you know, when he says, I got to move on. So if Christianity sounds a lot less than, if it sounds less enjoyable to you, watch, if Christianity sounds less enjoyable to you than a life of sin, that's not really surprising. I'm not endorsing a life of sin. I'm saying if it sounds like it wouldn't be as enjoyable, that's not surprising. And in fact, in some ways, that's because it's not. But don't leave me yet. There's a choice. So why do people choose to follow Jesus? Why should you? If you've come in here today and you're kind of trying to decide, do I follow Jesus? Do I do the things the Bible says? And how deeply do I want to, some of you are new folks here, our new faces. If you're trying to decide how deeply do I want to get in this thing? I mean, yeah, I kind of like what I hear here. I like the people. The people are great. The people are friendly. The pastor is handsome. All these things are... That is so rude. That is so rude. I don't even want to know what you said. Look, you say, oh, all these things are great, but I just don't know. I don't know that I want to jump in and be a Bible thumper. I don't know that I want to be a Jesus freak. I don't know that I want to be, you know, to get that serious about it. This is kind of some of the reasons, because we have this idea that it's like literally taking up a cross, a burden. It's like, it's kind of like being on a diet in every area of life, right? It's like, man, I'm on a money diet, I'm on a food diet, I'm on an alcohol diet, I'm on a fun diet. That's what people think. It's like being on a diet all the time. And that's kind of the impression that we get. Now, having said that though, there were some people in Scripture that had to make a choice. And in fact, Moses made this choice. And look at this. This is kind of how some of us feel. So Moses was a man that before he, okay, let me say it this way. Before he really became Moses, you know, the Moses we think, the Moses, before he became Charlton Heston, remember? In the Ten Commandments, I think it was the Ten Commandments when he held that rod out and there was amazing graphics for back in those days. And before he parted the Red Sea and all that, before he became that Moses, he was just a Moses. He was a guy that was put in a basket as a baby, and the Pharaoh's daughter pulled him out of the water to save, you know, because it was prophesied that he would be killed, and so she saved his life, and it's a big long story. But he grew up in Egypt, and he grew up in Pharaoh's house, so he grew up to, he could have been somebody. And then the Bible tells us there came a point in his life, and we read about in the book of Hebrews, where he had to make a choice. And the Bible says this: by faith Moses, when he was come to years, when he became an adult, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Why? Because he had to make a choice. He chose rather to, look at these words, he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. Now look, why would you do that, Moses? Why would you choose to suffer instead of enjoy? Why would you choose to suffer affliction with God's people rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin in Egypt? It's because Moses knew something. He understood a profound and really, really important thing, truth that we all need to learn. And here's what it was. That verse continues, for a season. He said, I'm choosing to suffer affliction now with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now look, now please understand, the word pleasure is not a bad word, okay? There's nothing sinful about pleasure. Pleasure is not a bad thing. But pleasures of sin, that's a different thing. So his choice, and again, please don't get ahead of me. Don't think that I'm saying today that being a Christian is all suffering and no pleasure, and being in the world or living a sinful life is all pleasure and no suffering, because that's not the case either. But we're looking at a contrast here. We're looking at a choice sometimes that we have to make, because there are some pleasures that are sinful, folks. Amen. There are some pleasures that are sinful. Amen. And Moses knew that the pleasures of sin only last for a season. They only last for a season. So Moses understood something and recognized a very, very important principle. Let me give it to you, and that's this. Pleasure is always fleeting. Now again, good pleasure and bad pleasure, okay? Anybody going to go out to eat today after lunch? Or after lunch. Anybody going to go out to eat after lunch today? Anybody going to go out to eat after church today? Look, I get you out of here early enough, you can beat all the crowds. You guys going to go out to eat? See, they're going to go out to eat today. Are you sure about that, Sam? She promised. That's why you're... Okay, so... And I hope it's someplace good. I hope your mom's not a cheapskate, you know? So wherever they go, look, what's going to happen there? They're going to sit down, they're going to have somebody bring them food that somebody else prepared. They're going to get to eat, it's going to be all pleasure, hopefully it's all good, and when it's all done, guess what they get to do? They get to get up, walk away, and somebody else cleans up the table. Now that sounds like all pleasure, right? But guess what? That's only going to last while they're there. You see, pleasure's fleeting. And if you think about our lives, when we think about our lives, the things we eat, the things we drink, the things we do, all this, you know, what we put in our bodies, what we do with our bodies, the places we go, all of those things can bring us pleasure. But the truth of the matter is, it's always fleeting. When it's over, it's over. Yeah, because that's the second half, Beverly. You're exactly right. See, you know, you've lived 120 years. You know these things. You should listen to her. See, pleasure's always fleeting. But watch, but the second half of that is pain is often permanent. See, all those things that we eat, all those things we drink, all those things that we do, sometimes if they're pleasures of sin, they're going to bring pain, and oftentimes that pain is permanent. That's a fact. You know, there are things we can do. Look, we live in a world where something's going to get us eventually, right? We're all going to die of something, and we get that. Our chances of getting a cancer or something like that, they just are what they are. However, our lifestyles, the things we choose to do, the things we don't choose to do with this body and with our time and with our actions, they can have an effect on that and reduce our life expectancy, yes? And they certainly can reduce our quality of life. Now, if you don't believe it, there are people who cannot come to this church anymore because they can't breathe to come up those stairs out there. And the reason they can't breathe is because they've destroyed their lungs. Well, I'm about to fall off of this platform. And you all are going to let me. You leave me up here all by myself. Look, please understand. Look, and I'm not trashing anybody for the things we do, but I'm just stating a fact. If we overeat, diabetes is going to wreck our lives. Okay? If we don't take care of our body. Look, and that's the physical part. Hey, the emotional part is sometimes worse. Some of the things that we choose to do with our minds, some of the places we choose to go. Look, if you have an issue, probably the most difficult addiction to break these days is the addiction to pornography. Amen. Now, we have somebody who has Tony has dedicated himself to try to help people, mainly men, but actually as a couple, Diane and Tony are going to be willing to work with somebody, because I'll tell you what you do. That addiction to pornography is destroying minds so much. I know what day it is. I know it's 2020, and I get all that. And I say, oh, it's a part of life. Everybody's doing that now, Pastor. Everybody is doing that now, and society is showing it. The treatment of women is showing it. The treatment of women is showing it. Look, and the pain of that is often permanent. The damage that it does. The damage that it does to a marriage, the damage that it does to relationships, the damage that it does to the way we perceive it. Look, and oftentimes that pain is permanent. So I got to watch my time here. Pleasure is always fleeting. Pain is often permanent. And the toll that it takes on our bodies and our minds and our emotions oftentimes never leaves us. David understood this. David had a choice to make as well, just like Moses had a choice. David had a choice to make. David one day, and my wife and I were very blessed when we were in Israel. We actually got to walk around on top of the ruins of David's palace in the city of, it's a little part of Jerusalem called the city of David. And it kind of gave me a whole new insight to this story of David and Bathsheba, because we walked out onto this big patio type area that overlooked this whole area. David's palace was higher than anything else. And so when he went out onto his roof and he's looking over, he could see the top of every single house. And now I'm pretty sure Bathsheba knew that. Bathsheba went up on a roof and bathed, and David saw her. And you know, if you know the story, if you don't know the story, you should read the Bible. It's better than any of these novels that you can read, I promise you. You'll find more racy stuff in the Bible than you'll find in any of those, and you won't feel as guilty about it afterward. It's that kind of pleasure. You can sort of get Jesus involved in your perversion, okay? Just a little help there for you. But look, you know, but we saw, and David made a choice, and he brought Bathsheba into his home, even though she was already married. In fact, her husband was out on the battlefield fighting David's battle for him. And he brought her in, and he fathered a child with her. And the story, you know the story. That story ends in nothing but heartache and sadness and the death of innocent people. Amen. And that pain never left David. I promise you, that pain never left David. That pleasure was one night. That pain was permanent. Now, again, I think we can all understand that this is nothing that I've said so far is new to any of us. We all get this. We all get this. We all know it. It's kind of an obvious thing. We've talked, you know, we talk about this all the time. We sort of just know it because of our lives. So, having said that then, so why does somebody follow Jesus? Why, going back to the question, why would we want to follow Jesus? Why would we want to suffer affliction maybe with God, with the people of God, rather than enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season? Here's the reason. Because here's the thing, Jesus is offering something that the world cannot offer. Jesus is offering you and I today something that the pleasures that go along with sin cannot offer us. Okay? And here's what that something is. Jesus is telling us that if you will include me in your pleasure, watch, please get this. Jesus is saying, if you will include me in your pleasure, in other words, you'll only do the things that I can be a part of. By the way, did you know there are pleasurable things you can do that Jesus is okay with? There's a lot of them. We're going to play cards next week in church. Some people are saying, you play cards in church? Yes. Carolyn's with me today. I just take those as amens, Carolyn. I just take those as preach on. But listen, we're going to do that, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. There is something wrong with you going out and gambling away your family's money that they can't afford to lose. Right? That is the pleasure of sin. In fact, that's really fleeting. But my point is, those things, there's a lot of pleasure. But so Jesus is just making us an offer. He says, look, Tom, if you will just only choose the pleasures that I can be a part of with you, then I will also still be with you when the pain comes. I'll still be right beside you when the pain comes. If you walk with me in the pleasure, then I'll still be beside you when the pain comes. And please understand, for every season of sin, there is guaranteed a season of pain that will follow. Guaranteed. And that season will last much longer than the season of pleasure. So here, in fact, here's where Jesus said it. Let me give you the scripture here. Here's what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28. He said, come to me, all you who labor. Now, let me just take a little time out here. Please understand, and I don't mean to be harsh or be mean, but Jesus is only talking to people who work here. Okay, and I'm not talking about you retirees. I'm not talking about disabled people. I'm talking about people who choose to not work. God is very, very big. If you want something, work for it. If you want something extra, earn it. I had the privilege yesterday of working with somebody who's needed some money, and rather than come and ask for it, just said, hey, get some work. And I totally respect that. I respect people who, I don't disrespect somebody who's made a bad financial move and gets themselves behind, because some of those people are the ones who then they go out and they deliver pizzas to pay it off in the evening. And that's respectable, yes? So Jesus is talking to people who are actually active, working. Now, he's mainly talking to those who are trying to serve him, laboring in his work. And he said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened. Now, probably none of you feel much of a heavy burden. Anybody? Anybody at all feel like you're heavily burdened at all in this world? Yeah, we do, don't we? Does sometimes that burden seem so heavy that you don't think you can take another step? Sure it does. Sure it does. And I think we'll find out why here we feel that way sometimes. But Jesus said, if you'll come to me, you're heavily burdened, I will give you rest. Now, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? That sounds really great on my knee right now. Those of you who don't know, I have a brain tumor that causes my knees to not function properly. And Jesus said, look, I'll give you rest. Feels good. Did you ever get to the place where you're just so tired, you've been doing all this, and you just come in, you just sit down, and it's just like, oh. And that's what Jesus said. He said, this is what I want to give you. I want to give you rest. Now, as he was saying this, though, he said, the weight of the world and guilt, this sounds great to us, right? Doesn't this sound good? Are you heavily burdened? Doesn't this sound good? I'd love to have that rest. We oftentimes feel our heavy burdens, though, after a season of sin, don't we? This is how many of us get to this point. I mean, it's the guilt then. It's the weight of guilt as opposed to the weight of the world, as opposed to the weight of money. And sometimes it's because of all those. We went out and we did something we shouldn't have done, and we spent money we didn't have, and we got ourselves in trouble, and now we've got court fight. And look, all these things that many times we end up doing in life, and we're heavily burdened. But Jesus said, I want to give you rest. And so here's the thing, though. Jesus went on. He said, verse number 29, because the rest sounds great. But then he said, take my yoke upon you. Do you know what a yoke is? Not an egg yolk. This is the yoke they put on a horse. You go to Amish country over in Holmes County, you'll see horses out there, and they'll put a yoke on them, and they'll strap them to a plow, and those horses are pulling a plow through the dirt. And again, now we're back to the beginning of the message, aren't we? Because you said, wait a minute, Jesus said he's going to give us rest? He's going to put a yoke on us? I've seen these horses. I've seen them trying to pull that plow through the dirt. That doesn't look much like rest to me. You want to put a yoke on me? And he said, yeah, take my yoke upon you. But he wasn't, here's the thing though. Please get this. Jesus is not saying, I want to put my yoke upon you, Anne. He said, I want to swap the yoke you already are wearing for mine. Hey, child of God, Jesus is not wanting to add to your burden. When we talk about following Jesus, it's not about adding a burden to us. It's about swapping a yoke. See, the yoke isn't the burden. The yoke is what makes pulling the burden a little bit easier. Are you following me? I wish Austin was here. Tell Austin I need him back here, okay? Because I need him to help me. I just need him back here. So Austin's a farmer. But these yokes, see, the yoke is what they put on. It's to take the burden, to take the pressure from the straps and the ropes and things off of the skin and off of the hide of the horse. And so in our lives, we have to understand we're already got a yoke on. Anybody gonna go to work tomorrow? You're wearing a yoke, right? You got a yoke. And Jesus said, look, all I'm offering to do is to take my yoke and put it on you. Because we'll read it in a second. We won't go there now. But in verse 30, he said, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Well, I'll get there in just a minute. But here's the point. He said, take my yoke upon you. And then here's the bonus. Here's the bonus. And here's why. Here's why Moses made the choice he made. Here's why David had to later make a choice that was better than the first one he made with Bathsheba. Here's the thing, and here's why you should choose. Please watch. Here's why it would make sense for you to choose to follow Jesus in spite of the affliction, in spite of the suffering, because his yoke is a double. He gets in there with us. He said, it's my yoke. I'm inviting you in my yoke with me. So watch, child of God, you and I have a choice. This is really, really important. Please, please get this. You and I can choose to go through our lives following Jesus at a distance. Look, if you're already a child of God, if you're already a Christian, you say, yeah, I'm following Jesus. I want to be a Jesus follower, but I don't know that I want to follow him that closely. Right? So, right, Tony? This is our nature, isn't it? I'll follow Jesus, but I'm going to let him get way ahead of me because I kind of want him way out there. I'll follow him to heaven, and I'll get there eventually, but I kind of like it back here a little bit because, well, let's face it, Jesus can't see what I'm doing. Man, are you dumb? You get that he can see what you're doing, right? But see, this is how we are. It's like, I don't want to get in a yoke with him. I don't want to be doing everything he does. I don't want to be doing all the Jesus stuff. Come on. This is where a lot of us really are. This is where I believe the majority of Christianity is. I think the majority of born-again Christians are thrilled that they have a home in heaven. And they want to follow Jesus. They just don't want to follow him very closely. They just don't want to follow him very closely. They're like, yeah, I don't like all the stuff that goes along with that. I don't like all the stuff that goes along with that. Hey, they make shirts too short now. Stop laughing at me. You people are so rude. Have you noticed the convenience now that they're making men's shirts with? They're self-unbuttoning. Right here. So anyway, they just unbutton themselves. Look, what was I talking about? See, you got me distracted. They just don't want to follow Jesus very closely. It's like, you know, I want to follow Jesus. You know, I'll go to church on Sunday. But that's enough for me. That's enough. That's enough Jesus for me. See, it's a different thing. It's a different thing. Jesus is saying, look, and that's fine. If you want to follow me from a distance, please understand, this is Jesus talking now. If you're going to be back here, and Jesus says, I'm going to be up here, then please understand, when the season of pain comes, you're on your own. Amen. You're on your own. At least for a while. Now, please understand, and this is not the message, I'm not going to spend any time on this, Jesus will turn around and come back for you. He will, but it's going to take some time. If you enter into a season of pain alone, it's going to take a little bit of time before you feel like Jesus is back in your life again. Now, that's the truth. That's the truth. You ever met somebody that says, you know, I've just got all these things going on in my life and all these things. I don't know where Jesus is. I don't feel like Jesus is here with me. Well, I'll tell you why he's not here with you, probably because you were following him, but you were following him at such a great distance. Amen. That he wasn't in the yoke with you. Had you been in the yoke with him in that season of pleasure? Had you gotten him involved in your life early on in your process, early on in your life and early on in your marriage, early on in your business, early on in this new thing that you're trying with Jesus? If you go for it all and you get in the yoke with him and you try to live the way he wants you to live, then he's going to be there right now when the pain comes. Right now. He's right here with you. Now that's a choice you and I get to make. That's why Moses made the choice he made. That's why, see, you know, Victoria and Stephen are getting ready to have a baby, and we're thrilled about that, aren't we? They're getting ready to bring a little life into this world. We dedicated Kim's baby last week or week before. I can't remember which one it was. And it was a beautiful thing. Get God involved in that early. Get Jesus. Get in the yoke with Jesus, young parents. Get in the yoke with Jesus, and he will be there when the teenagers start having problems, when the elementary kids start having problems. Get in that yoke with him. He will be. And even if, and look, and that doesn't mean it's going to be easy, folks. I got to be honest with you. It scares me to death what the world's going to be like for this little boy growing up in your belly. You are going to have to work so much harder. You're going to have to be so much smarter and so much wiser than any of us, the rest of us ever had to be with that child. And you're going to have to pray more. You're going to have to seek God more. You're going to need way more grace than we ever needed with our kids. And our kids are screwed up already. Seriously, this world is messed up. Really, really messed up. It is so important to be in the yoke with Jesus. To do the things that he can do with us. Now, not when the pain time comes. Don't wait until the pain, because this is what people do. They say, well, I just don't understand. Why isn't he here with me? You do understand why he's not here with you. Now, please understand, he's not going to leave us. He doesn't leave us completely. But folks, please understand this. There are some things we cannot do and expect Jesus to do them with us. We got to clean some stuff up. We need to clean some stuff up if we want him to be with us all the time. Yes? So that's kind of where we're at. Let me wrap this up. You can invite him into your everyday life, and he will be there when the pain comes. Simply, let me just put it to you simply this way. He just wants us to get in the yoke with him because he's strong and we're not. He's strong and we're not. I mean, if you had to lift something heavy, wouldn't you love for Robert to come along and help you lift it? Pick any of them. Pick any Harold, pick anybody. Look, we need somebody strong in there with us for some of these, because some of the burdens you and I, okay, again, let's go back to this burden is more than I can bear. Do you know the Bible, there people erroneously say, the Bible says that God will not put upon you more than you can bear. Do you know that's not true? That is not scripture. It says he will not put more upon you than you can bear with him. With him. With him. There are some burdens that are too big for us. They're too big. No matter what kind of yoke you got. And look, and most of us, we are trying to pull those burdens with this defective yoke on us. It's a burden that's too big for us anyway, and we're not getting anywhere. Do you ever feel like you're not getting anywhere in life? Get in the yoke with Jesus. Truly follow him. Follow him in the morning. Get him involved in your life. Get him involved early in the process. Say, Jesus, do you think I should do this? Do you think I should make this choice and this decision and get him involved and do the things that he can do with us? And he says, and when that happens, I will help you. Because verse 30 says, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's not trying to add his light burden onto your heavy burden. He's trying to swap them out. He's just trying to swap them out. Now, We hear, there's a Bible word I'm going to close with. We're actually going to close with a song here that's going to be sung for us. There's a Bible word that kind of means rest. When he says, I will give you rest, it's a Bible word. It's actually the word sanctuary. The word sanctuary. We hear a lot about sanctuary cities today, sanctuary counties. Look, the word sanctuary is not a bad word. It's being misused in some ways, I think. But the word sanctuary is not a bad word. What the word sanctuary really means, it just means you're safe here. You're safe here. This sanctuary, you're safe here. He says, you're safe here. This is what Jesus is saying to us. He's saying, I want to be your sanctuary. In just a minute, Stephen and Victoria are going to come, and they're going to sing a song called Sanctuary. But let me just say a couple of things to introduce the invitation. If you're not already a follower of Jesus Christ, can I encourage you, start today. Get him involved in this point. It's at this point in your life, even if things are good, things may not be good tomorrow. You're going to want to be in the yoke with him when that happens. When that season of pain comes, you're going to want to be there. If you're already a follower of Jesus Christ, can I just encourage you, don't follow him at such a great distance. If we follow at such a great distance, he's not going to be right where we need him to be when the pain comes. But if you're in the yoke with him, he'll be right there with you. Can I encourage you to think about that during the invitation time? Now, Stephen and Victoria.